DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
I'm joined in our studio here by the new mayor of Limerick, John Moran. Good afternoon, John.
Thanks a million.
How are you?
I'm super.
Yeah. You're, what, 2.5 weeks on since the election, 3 days since the inauguration and all the bells and whistles. How does it feel?
It's probably better than I actually expected. I mean, I think there's been a huge excitement around Limerick in the run-up to the election. It took us a while to get going, but then it started to become very real for people. Candidates had different ideas of what they wanted to do with Limerick, how their manifestos would evolve. The councillors were commenting on that. And I think that the penny dropped kind of, you know, the day after the count was on, as to the fact that this was such a transformative idea for a local authority in Ireland. And Limerick was really proud that it was the one that chose 5 years ago to do it. And what's now happened is that there is this new vision for Limerick that has evolved over the course of the election, and people have voted for it. And so now we're into, you know, the harder conversations with the directors of service. We've met them all. I've met all the party leaders. We've done the first council meeting.
The job started.
And the job really started. The job started the first morning with homework off for my nephew and niece's school. So
really?
they were insisting
good.
I had to go there.
It's the kind of stuff the newly elected mayor can do. But it is interesting in the sense that, like, you've made history because Limerick is the first county to bring in the newly elected mayor.
Yeah, and you think it's the first time in 100 years of the state that we've had such a big change in the way things work. And I'm already hearing people in Cork and Waterford, who of course 5 years ago voted this down as an idea, are starting to look over and say, oh, maybe we should have done it differently. And hopefully they'll choose again in 5 years' time, as might other local authorities do it. Because for a long time I've been arguing that we really need to bring decision making in Ireland much closer to people for them to decide. And this is a real opportunity now, not just for this to work here in Limerick, but for the government, and I'll be meeting the Taoiseach next week to explain that to him, to change the way that some of the departments work. I mean, obviously, having run the Department of Finance, I'm pretty familiar with how those can evolve, so as to do things very differently in Ireland. And we're happy to be the guinea pigs for 5 years.
Try it out.
Right, yeah.
I suppose you saw the firsthand the connection and the engagement from the public, from the constituents in Limerick, in the numbers that turned out and voted in the election.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because I think for a long time in the run-up to the last 5 years, there was a bit of cynicism around that people wouldn't take this seriously. They wouldn't, you know, go to vote. And there was this kind of, you know, tiredness with democracy and that, which you've seen a little bit across Europe and other places. And I think actually Limerick totally rallied around this. And so if there was one thing I was hoping for this, it was the fact that people feel a proximity to the decision makers now. And it's fun. I mean, in a way, I walk around the place now and, you know, some kids want autographs and stuff like that. And it's not just about me. I know that they now know who their mayor is. And we had an inauguration ceremony last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a big decision to take, because up to now, the mayor gets the chains in the council chamber. And I wanted to reinforce that there's this new idea now that the power that's been vested in the mayor comes directly from the people. And so to have a big community-based service and ceremony, and we did it non sort of, you know, religious, even though we picked the oldest building in Limerick. But I wanted to start down in St. Mary's Community Centre, in a local school, invite all the people that wanted to come to the seed chamber. And what struck me most in the whole thing of that day was that we had a bunch of kids that came from second class from St. Mary's National School, which is probably 2 blocks away from the cathedral, 3 blocks from City Hall. They'd never been in City Hall before. You know, so I think this allows us to involve people way more in how government works, explaining, because you can't do everything for everybody, but at least if they understand the whys and the why nots, I think it'll help them to stay more involved in that process.
How did you find the election campaign and the canvassing? Obviously, you come from the, you know, civil service background. I imagine that is very different for anybody thinking of ever running for a newly elected mayoral position.
Yeah, well, I loved it because I love meeting people. And I think it was really important in the first place that we had taken the decision to run as an independent. And so I wasn't the only independent, obviously. There were a number of them. And if you look at the way the votes were cast, I mean, the two remaining candidates at the very end, who effectively had now accumulated all the votes, were both independent candidates.
And I think Helen O'Donnell.
Helen O'Donnell. Yeah. And I think that what Helen and our own campaign sort of showed is that this role has to represent all of Limerick. And so it doesn't really work well for a political party who's representing maybe 15 or 20% of the people. And that made it, certainly say it made it a lot easier at the doors, right? Because, you know, you weren't in the system before in that respect. You were also able to say that you had to do that. And I think that was reflected. I mean, the other thing that satisfied me most when the day of the count was when they were opening the boxes, is to see the number of votes that I got in particular from every community in Limerick. It wasn't like it was just all West Limerick, all East Limerick.
That house and estate is a John Moore and estate. Yeah. Which usually
there were a couple of exceptions where we scored very well, like Ate, which is my old grandfather's home. But that gives me a huge capacity now to deliver, which is one of the big jobs for the next 2 months, is to produce the mayoral programme for the next 5 years with the councillors and others, to do it for everybody.
Yeah. So what does that look like, the mayoral programme? You've a budget, you know, quite a hefty budget, I suppose, in order to do things. So what does that look like, and what change can the listeners and people of Limerick see as a result of this?
Yeah, so the first thing is that we probably took a slightly different approach to the election in this respect, where I wanted, and probably, you know, it was my background, having been in government before, I wanted to set out very clearly what I believed, having consulted with lots of people and communities, Limerick should do for the next 5 years. And that was set out in about 60 pages of documents across business and prosperity, across health, and across livability, which includes housing and quality of life. And the people voted on that. And so there's now a strong agreement between, effectively, the mayoral programme and what people wanted. And I can communicate that to the government. Now, in that programme, we actually had over 300 or so items that I know I can deliver in the 5 years, which were those that I knew we could fund and that effectively could get achieved in the 5 years. But there's also a vision to a future Limerick that's not funded yet. So there's a lot of things about housing. The amount of housing that we need to deliver in Limerick is intense. I mean, as it is across the whole country. And so that requires a big step change. And I gathered this morning we've got a new Minister for Finance now, you know, will be coming down for the next budget. But a lot of what I'll be doing, and that's what people will see change, is delivering a holistic view of where Limerick should be going over the next 5 years, getting broad agreement with the councillors to that along with the electorate.
Is that difficult to bring the councillors on board? Because this is obviously a power shift for them.
I actually think it's a power increase for them. I think that's the interesting dynamic that's going to happen here now, is that because the advocate for the holistic plan of Limerick is now the mayor in Limerick talking to government, there's a greater ability for them to shape the way Limerick goes over the next 5 years, because they now work with the mayor to do that. And the mayor, in effect, translates that. So having the councillors, and this morning we had one of the electoral districts, for example, they have their own priorities. They have to now help me to actually work out whether their priorities are more important than everybody else's in the other five districts, or how we actually order the priorities across the six. And then there's a much clearer message going to the via the TVs as well to the government. And I would love those councillors to take responsibility now more than perhaps ever they've had to do before for the issues in their local areas and helping to solve them. And if they have a problem doing that, well, I'll lend the power of the office of the mayor to support them to get the meetings that they need.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, I suppose. You're not the fixer who's able to. You're not going to be able to do everything that every county councillor or city councillor wants in Limerick. So I suppose it's about who has the, you know, the greatest, what issue takes the greatest priority, or who argues best.
Absolutely.
For...
And ultimately, the councillors decide the budget. So while I might make recommendations about which budgets, if I wanted to put all of our chips on, you know, I was in Adair Rakeel this morning, in Adair Rakeel and ignore Capamore Kilmallock or ignore Limerick City North, which I won't do, but because I have obviously got voters in all of them. But even if I were so decided, it's the councillors that ultimately will be able to say.
And it's
no,
a 40
stop.
Million euro council budget, isn't it?
Well, no, there's a 40 million discretionary budget, which actually a lot of it is running the office as well, as I found out.
Yeah.
So even though we're all talking about 40 million,
sure half it's nobody tied up clarified already, probably,
that.
Is it?
Nobody clarified that from government, so we may have to look for a little bit more in that respect. But they're probably saying up in Dublin, look, he started already.
Yeah, he's now, already at the handout looking for more money.
But what's the really important budget for the council? Is actually the 300 or so million that they approve every year, which is spent in Limerick in terms of fixing roads, playgrounds and stuff like that. And that's where I think there'll be some really good conversations between the mayoral programme and how we fund those.
In your background, John, obviously, as people will know you as the former Secretary General of the Department of Finance, and particularly during the austerity years, you were nearly dubbed Mr. Austerity at one point. How do you want the people of Limerick to connect with you? What relationship do you want the Limerick people to have with their
the
mayor?
The office are probably going to hate this, right? But the first thing we've done is we've created the easiest email address for anyone in Limerick to remember, which is mayor@limerick.ie. And so that's available to everybody to write in if they need us, you know, to think about some issue. Obviously, they should raise it with their local councillors, but again, it's helpful for the, well, we only have 3 or 4 people, but we're now working to expand through the organisation of all the council staff to get everybody on board. The other thing is that I committed to actually meeting kind of publicly every quarter or so, like we did actually, you talk about the time I spent in the Department of Finance, like we did about the main issues that we were struggling to reform and change during those 2 or 3 key years to get Ireland back from the brink of bankruptcy and back to being a successful economy. So again, once we have this mayoral programme agreed, I would like to report on that in a very transparent and public way to the public, who of course have elected me, and to the councillors who have their own sort of, you know, say in the programme, to make sure that we are actually delivering this, the stuff that we've said we'll deliver. And I think that would be a big change.
Okay. Can I ask you just about a separate issue entirely, John? But something, of course, our listeners have been hearing a lot about, and they'll hear more about it here today too on Lunchtime Live. And that's, I suppose, the scenes in the streets of Limerick over the weekend and the protests that took place in solidarity with assault victim Natasha O'Brien. Have you had an opportunity to meet with Natasha, or is that something that's on the agenda?
Yeah, no, it's on the agenda. I think it's tomorrow. I reached out to her on Saturday to ask her, could she meet? And in fact, I think the messages got a bit, because I only had social media and she may not have seen it. So I didn't get it. So our office reached out yesterday morning again, and it's great. She's coming in, and I commend her for speaking up on this. Because these issues do need to be resolved. And what I want to hear firsthand from her is how would she like the mayor to be able to help to do that? I mean, I think it's been reported already that I had literally just gotten wind of the announcement by the court before we did the inauguration.
Okay.
And purposefully put in a sentence, because I know the importance of these things. It's important the messaging that comes from an office like the mayor put in, so that it wasn't just about housing in terms of the priorities I was setting for young people like Natasha living in Limerick, but I also had the need for people to be able to walk home safely, especially late at night. And I think everybody understands that all cities have issues like this that need to be resolved. So I don't want to create this spectre that we're doing. But there have been other situations in Limerick that are people I met during the canvas, where they themselves had issues. And safety is a really important issue. And again, look, we're trying to juggle all the important issues, but this evening, again, I have a meeting that was already in the schedule since before this, which is one of the first things we set up, a meeting with the representatives of the police and the local traders in the city centre, which is happening this evening at 6:30. And so in some ways, I'm trying to have that meeting as well, hear from the police where they think, the guards, where they think we can make improvements, so that I can then hear from Natasha tomorrow. And I've explained to her already in the first communication I had with her that I'm meeting the Taoiseach next week. And again, I need to be able to do that. But I think the Taoiseach himself said it. I also need to be conscious that now having an elected office representing sort of, you know, the mayoral office, the DPP has a job to do, the Defence Forces have a job to do, and I have to also, you know, acknowledge and respect that, in at least for the moment, in terms of commenting publicly on it.
Yeah. This was just finally, John, it's a 5-year term. Yeah, it'll be a busy term.
It certainly started out busy anyway. Yeah. I suspect it'll keep that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose for people listening today that were plebiscites were previously rejected in Waterford and Cork, and I know there had been no plan really to run that in Dublin, but is it something you would like to see the role of a directly elected mayor rolled out now in other areas?
Absolutely. I mean, look, I'm familiar with seeing this all over Europe. This is why I fought for this 5 years ago. And everything that's happened in the run-up to the election and since has just reinforced my belief that this is the right way forward. I mean, it'll be easier for the next crew, you know, whether they're in Cork or Waterford or indeed successors here in Limerick, because a lot of the issues that we're dealing with de novo will have been resolved. But the right way for Limerick and indeed all the counties of Ireland to work is that there is an elected representative of those counties. And even you imagine that the 25 or 26, you know, mayors would actually be able to get together also themselves and move things forward. And they are the people that are by far the closest to the people that have appointed them and able to look over all the issues. I mean, I used to always say, you'll be familiar with this, that the problem at the moment in the Irish system is that the only referee of a row is actually the Taoiseach. And that moves the referees down to the local areas so that issues that are local can get resolved more locally. And that's a really important change.
Okay. Well, listen, John, we wish you the very best of luck. Thanks a million for joining us here today in the Castle Oaks House Hotel. That, of course, is the newly elected mayor of Limerick, John Moran.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.